Kerr's Hire. Local for 40 years.
It's the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast. It's the edition we are having on the eve of finals, and we are going to tear shreds off it like an adolescent boy with his Raz. Do you have a Raz, Kingy? Do you ever have a Raz or a Sunny Boy? Are you too young?
Yeah, for Sunny Boy. Sunny Boys I had.
Yeah, well, you remember when I used to just tear the shreds off it.
You were hoping for a free one.
Yeah, correct. And the little yellow writing inside on the silver foil. And when that came through, when you saw that yellow writing, you got a real twinge in the old Murray, in the Murray Ranch.
The undercarriage.
You did. It was very, very exciting. And you would launch onto that one, then you would launch straight back to the milk bar to get your free.
Yes.
So we're going to dissect this sort of like Raz Sunny. There was another flavour too. There was a Raz Sunny Boy.
And well, Sunny Boy came in orange or cola or lemonade.
They were called Sunny Boys, weren't they? There was orange. Was it cola?
Yeah, I think it was cola.
I think there was only about three flavors.
Yeah, lemonade.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and they.
Well, I don't know if there was lemonade. Was there?
They were triangular shapes.
Yeah, they were, and they were as hard as a green quince. you could have held up a 7-Eleven with it if you wanted to. Post your while it was still just sort of fresh out of the freezer
before it melted.
That was before electricity was like energy was like $9 million per kilowatt, and nothing's frozen. In these days.
I've got solar panels. I wish it was $9 million a kilo.
On your head.
Very funny from you, Benny. Yeah. Can I tell you a very funny story?
Oh, here we go.
So I went to the Ash Medal, which is the Bellarine Football Netball League's vote count night.
Yeah. When was this?
It was on Wednesday night.
Right. So last night.
And the gentleman reading the votes had stumbled over a couple of names. Now, I don't know whether he was being funny or not, but Daniel Modolo from Anglesey polled some votes. Well, somehow he became Daniel Medildo.
Oh, no, did he?
Yes. Daniel Medildo.
Yeah, right.
So I was hosting the
evening. He just slipped in for a couple of votes. How many did he get?
He got two.
Did he?
Anyway, I've got up. So it was just before a break. In the, they'll throw back to the leaderboard for me to do a bit of an update. And I said, I must admit, some of the names have been a bit stiff to me.
Oh, comedy gold. Did somebody have some cymbals going in the background?
The room was absolutely... I've never seen a local medal night fire up.
Oh, that is comedy gold from you, King.
Yeah.
So that brought a bit of...
It's about as funny as my other funny line of the night. And I'm patting myself on the back here. Dom Gleeson, who played in Geelong's VFL Premiership, coaches Torquay, was named coach of the team of the year. And I said to him, I said, if there was a run of injuries at Torquay and you had the pick of one player in this team of the year that's not Torquay, who would you play? And he goes, oh, Jesus. And I've just gone, he's not available.
He plays for Mount Sinai. Oh, so you've just produced some gold, Vicky.
Considering that was my first sort of...
Did that go on the bill?
I think it might.
I think it should too, just for comedy.
Yeah, but poor Daniel Modolo from Anglesey. I think he might have a new
name. The old Medildo.
We're talking about the Cats.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very clinical against Gold Coast.
Yeah, they were. Professional
performance. Go up there, get the job done, get out of there.
Very professional. Soured by the injury to Jeremy Cameron. Some would argue, why was Jeremy Cameron out there in the last quarter when they're 10 goals in front?
Well, he did come off with about 12 minutes to go.
Yeah, he did his hamstring last quarter, I reckon.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can't take them all off. But, yeah, I mean, that's the question that's been asked. You can't – yeah.
He's had no issues for 22 rounds.
To my understanding is he's touch and go for the first final.
Yeah.
He's no certainty for that first final.
And would you bother?
Well, I would – well, look, I don't know. You'd want to be 100% sure that he's 100% right.
Because if he does it again
– you're gone.
He's done.
So, and you would like to think that the Cats, although he's a very, very important player and you're not going to replace him, if they were to play, I mean, I haven't done all the permutations and computations. Have you done those, Kenny?
No, I haven't.
So, somebody told me that Geelong are likely to play Collingwood or Frio.
Yep.
Is that the most likely scenario?
They're the most likely scenario,
I would say, Kenny, do you think I'm wrong that if I would back Geelong in to win over here without Cameron?
Against Frio?
Or Collingwood.
Yep.
I would. And you'd have your fingers crossed. But I don't think you would certainly risk him. I think Melbourne would be a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane to a degree. I think Brisbane are... I think Brisbane are a bit flaky.
We'll find out more Friday night.
I think Melbourne will beat Brisbane.
We find out more Friday night. If Brisbane beat Melbourne, things change.
Probably. But I just think that the Cats are, you know, it's a really difficult decision. So my mail is that he is certainly no walk-up start to be right for that game. It would be and if it was a grand final, 100% playing. Well, yeah. Or if it was a prelim playing, but just that lure of doing it, being gone then for the remainder of the finals, so giving that extra week if they win.
So it'd be 19 days between injury and, well, if the Cats play on a Thursday, it's 19, Friday, it'll be 20. And we know the Cats are playing Thursday or Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a bit of a sour note on what, like you said, was a really, really good performance. Geelong just continue to go from strength to strength. We've sort of been waiting for them to have a downer. It doesn't appear to be happening. Players are hungry. They're playing well. They're teaming well. Players who have been through lulls have come out of those lulls and are playing good footy. Myers, Colajasny. We see Dangerfield back to playing some pretty good football. He's had, probably first time in his career we say it, he's had some lulls this year where he's been...
Well, just the lack of continuity.
But he's even played some games where he's been a complete non-factor.
Yeah, correct.
So he's starting to find a bit of form. De Koning is showing no signs of slowing, despite being in his first season of senior footy.
Do you give him this week off?
Well, then you got the week off the following week. I think it certainly would be discussed. Who else would you be looking to give a week off this week to?
Stanley won't play. Tui's just come back. Parfitt's just come back. Cameron won't play. You'd play Colajasny. You play... do you give Holmes a rest?
No.
The skipper won't be resting. De Koning, maybe. Stengel will play. Rowan will have to play. Buse just plays. Hawkins just plays. Although, do you rest Hawkins? Or they've with no Cameron
I'd consider resting somebody like a Buse.
Yep. Then you've got Cam Guthrie, who is just durable.
But he's one that you maybe rest.
Then you got Atkins.
I wouldn't be resting him. He's
Myers,
just
no. Dangerfield, no. Henry,
would
no.
you rest somebody like a Close?
Potentially.
Just to have him cherry ripe. Yeah. I think the other one that you'd
Blitzarves?
Rest. Yeah, Blitzarves is one that you would consider seriously resting, given he had to play some significant midfield minutes last week in the ruck. There's a lot of players you could. The one I'd love to rest, they won't, but because he's missed 4 weeks, but was Stewart. Mm. I just like to make sure Stewart gets to the line in the finals for fifth.
I think you won't after 4 weeks.
No, they're not going to rest him, but he's the one that I'll be, fingers crossed, he doesn't get injured.
No. Who comes in is a question. So Segler will definitely play.
The Segster.
Yeah, well, we think he's definitely playing.
Yeah.
But he comes out of the concussion protocol Friday. So that's his 12 days up. So he comes in. And then it'd be interesting to see. I did ask about Sean Higgins, whether they will try and get some AFL game time into him.
And?
Non-committal.
Means so, no.
Probably no.
Dalhouse.
Dalhouse, we think, would be one that we might get some time. Shannon Neal with Cameron out. Does he come and get another crack? Does Radigalia get a game?
He's been playing in defence. I wouldn't put him then bring him in up forward.
No, hang on. No. You didn't about to finish. I was going to say, if De Koning was to be rested, would you bring Radigalia?
Oh, well, potentially.
Yeah. And do you bring Neal in?
I just think you bring in... I don't know that you bring in a Radigalia if you've got no intention of probably using him. I mean, it would
If he's been playing in defence and Geelong was to have a De Koning go down...
They'd have to bring him in. Potentially, you'd probably be able to fashion Blitzarves into defence.
True, but are you robbing Peter to pay Paul by moving Blitzarves out of where he's been so effective?
Peter and Paul, do they live in the same house?
I'm not sure.
Do you know, you know this one, but Kingy, the Corinthians used to write to Paul. And do you know what Paul wrote back to them?
Stop writing.
Stop sending us letters. Yeah. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians weren't out. They just sent back saying, stop sending us this stuff. It was like junk mail.
Were they a vexatious litigant?
Yes, they were. They were a sort of David Koresh style.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's just up in the orange suit.
Yeah. Oh.
Remember in his...
He was Waco, wasn't he?
Yeah, his ranch burnt. Yeah. Oh, I actually watched the documentary on that.
The Branch Davidians?
Yeah, they were just... How people get caught up in that is quite beyond me. But anyway.
Brainwashing is a thing.
It is. So, look, there's a lot of factors, Kingy. The thing, I suppose, is bringing the guys they bring in. Do you bring them in to get one senior game under the belt in case you need them? Like a Higgins.
Mm.
You know, I mean, Dalhouse has played recently. Radigalia, yeah. Do you just throw them in for this game so that they've at least got very recent senior experience, knowing that hopefully... you don't need them, but you might need them, and then they're, because it's going to be really removed for guys like Higgins and some of these guys if they don't play, if they were required in a prelim or a grand final. There's going to be a long gap.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're the things that the team will discuss, the coaches will discuss. I don't know that you want to rest a huge amount of guys, but you...
Is Narkle another one that you probably play?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
Your midfield is so deep that I don't think he's getting a game.
Yep.
I think if that's where some people say, well, Higgins won't be getting a game either, but I think if you're going to bring Higgins in, you've probably lost a Close or a Stengel or a Myers or someone like that. He would come in and play that sort of role.
Hybrid, small forward.
Yeah, so I don't think Narkle is a fair way down the pecking order simply because he's basically a midfielder. But it's a really interesting conversation. And Geelong might just decide, you know what, let's just roll out a pretty strong team, maybe rest one or two, but let's not rest four or five. But we'll find out, obviously, tonight when the team comes out. But really good position to be in, Kingy, the fact that we're talking about it and that we've got, you know, their top 26, 27 players, that group, is strong. I mean, I don't know if all said and done. I don't know Menegola is getting a game. I know you like him, but if everybody is ready to go, he is certainly in the mix, I think, for missing out.
Yeah, get squeezed. O'Connor.
O'Connor is in the mix to get squeezed.
Yep.
Narkle's not getting a game. Dalhouse not getting a game. Higgins not getting a game. Radigalia not getting a game. You've got your batting down there to 27,
yeah,
which is what you need. Because let's be
honest.
And
Chris Scott's spoken about that. He says you need a group to win a premiership, not 22 blokes.
And if you get to the finish line, let's say the grand final, and you've got everybody to choose from, well, fantastic. Yep. Reality is that's probably not going to happen, although Geelong seem to have managed their list, and obviously some good fortune comes into that, but they've got to this point with a really minimal injury list, and they seemingly have good game time into guys. They've been able to rest guys. They've been able to sort of do what they want to do in terms of the list management week to week to have this team ready for the finals.
I'll tell you one bloke who will potentially play this week is Francis Evans. His form's been really good.
MP.
But his form in the VFL's been really good.
Okay, so I'll ask you this. If Myers went out of the side, right, would you bring in Dalhouse, Higgins, or Francis Evans MP for a final?
Dalhouse.
Yeah, probably. I think Francis Evans MP would be the third one on that list.
Yep. Dalhouse's defensive energy is the thing that gets him over the top.
Yeah, you're probably right, King. You're probably right. And, but anyway, look, it's good. It's good. And like I said, I tried to do that team on our coverage on Saturday. And I look down at it and Blitzovs, and I'm thinking, well, he needs to be in there somehow.
Just
but
somehow.
That's a really good. Not every club's got that. So, really interesting final round two with Brisbane playing Melbourne, Collingwood playing Carlton,
Sydney and St Kilda.
Yeah, well, St Kilda are cooked, aren't they?
Well, they're cooked, but Sydney might still be playing for something, including second spot.
Yeah,
and St Kilda are not.
Can we see Geelong Sydney grand final?
Yep.
I think Sydney will beat St Kilda, so they'll finish second.
Yeah. That will depend on... Does it depend on Melbourne? Or do they stay second?
Well, they're second now.
They're second now. Okay.
So it would have to be second. Considerable.
Although
I don't know.
Is percentage that can be factored into this. So Sydney 128.3, Melbourne 127.7. So it's only 0.6 of a difference.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's a goal. It's a goal, basically.
Okay, so that comes down to the margin. You would have thought that Sydney are more likely to win considerably
comfortably
than Melbourne going up there. If they win, it's likely to be a tight game, you would have thought.
And then it comes down to if they happen to be locked on, it becomes down to head-to-head in the season is how they just split them. The AFL did send out the email, as they send out every year, about percentage ties and how they need work it out from there. And Sydney obviously beat Melbourne mid-season, so that would then factor in. If that was
so Fremantle to win, they'll jump above either Brisbane or Melbourne?
Correct. Yep, they'd go to 62 points.
And if Carlton beat Collingwood?
Yep.
Then I've tried to predict this ladder. If I just do my ladder predictor.
You've got your ladder predictor. Okay, so Melbourne or Brisbane?
So who are we tipping? We're tipping Melbourne to win?
Yep.
I think Melbourne will win. Okay. I just think, don't ask me why, but I just do. I think they're well structured. Yep. I think Brisbane struggle when they can't just run the ball from end to end, a gangbuster sort of style. So I reckon Melbourne have got the game to stifle Brisbane, and then Brisbane will have to kick it down the line. And they're not very effective when they've got to kick it down the line to May and Lever.
It's very settle in with the popcorn Friday night, that game.
Oh, it is like just sort
box
of
office.
Maybe even a bit of baby oil, Kingy.
Carlton and Collingwood.
A bit of Daniel Medildo. He'd be watching that, won't he? do you think?
Carlton, Collingwood.
Well, hang on, I've got to do the other games. So I'm doing...
Oh, sorry, I'm doing...
Brisbane, Melbourne, I'm tipping Brisbane.
Yep.
But that could be a 50-50 game. Freo, GWS, I'm tipping Freo.
Suns, see, that's not...
Oh, they'll beat them. GWS has checked out. They're a classic example of talent gets you absolutely nowhere in the AFL.
Okay.
Talent alone will get you absolutely nowhere, and they are exhibit A, B, and C, Johnny Cochran sort of style. They're a rabble, GWS. They have been one of the most disappointing clubs of the season. For that list to be winning, well, they won five games. It's been horrendous. The Suns beat North, although that's irrelevant. Geelong beat West Coast.
Irrelevant.
Richmond beat Essendon. I'm tipping Port Adelaide to beat Adelaide, albeit it's irrelevant. Bulldogs to beat the Hawks.
Down there?
Carlton, Collingwood.
That's in Launceston.
Yeah, but okay. Well, I'm tipping the Bulldogs, but I think it's got too much in the midfield
for
them.
The Dogs can sneak in, can't they?
Yeah, they're still half a snifter, yeah, so they've got something to...
So they'll come off the ground at York Park at about 20 minutes to four on the Sunday afternoon, seeing what the score is at the MCG at about quarter time.
Yeah.
And they'll be hoping that they've won and that Collingwood are five goals in front.
Well, and so there's still a chance.
Yeah.
So then Collingwood Carlton is the one. Who's winning that?
Carlton.
Yeah, that's an absolute 50-50. We've got to put one in. So you're saying Carlton?
I'm saying Carlton win that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll put Carlton in. Don't ask me why, but I will.
Well, no Degoe.
No.
No Taylor Adams. Thin in the midfield.
Yeah, you might be right.
And no Ginnivan.
We'll put Carlton in, and then we'll put Sydney in to beat. So we've gone Melbourne, Freo, Suns, Geelong, Richmond, Port Adelaide, Bulldogs, Carlton, Sydney to win in the final round. And if that happened, I have to view ladder. And that would mean that Geelong finish on top, Sydney finish second, Melbourne finish third, Fremantle finish fourth, Brisbane finish fifth, Collingwood sixth, Richmond seventh, Carlton eighth.
Poor Collingwood, Richmond in an elimination final.
And then Carlton would have to go.
Strap your helmet
on. So Geelong would be playing Fremantle if those permutations and computations play out.
Sydney play Melbourne?
Yes.
Yep. And the other elimination final.
That's in Sydney.
Yeah, and the other elimination final would be Brisbane and Carlton.
Yes.
At the gate.
And you watch, none of those results will get up and it'll be completely different. But. It's good. It's good fodder to talk about.
Good talking point.
It's good fodder.
Good talking.
Have you ever had good fodder?
Isn't fodder what they serve to?
Fodder's food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fodder.
Yeah.
Fodder.
Yeah. But that's what they usually serve to cattle.
Fodder and fodder.
To cattle.
Did you ever used to watch the Late Show?
The D-Gen Late Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
On a Saturday night.
I did.
Saturday night.
It's actually something my grandfather and I watched together. My grandfather, who was, he liked to laugh, but he was a fairly,
He loved it, did he?
He was a massive fan. Oh. Yeah.
We used to watch before we go out.
Yeah.
It was hysterical.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah, no, very funny.
And when Tony and Mick used to roam the streets with the microphone
yes.
and just find the most bizarre people.
I did watch one very good one, one skit where Jane Kennedy went on a celebrity battle on Sale of the Century and they had Mick and Santo in the van outside Channel 9 studios in
doing their
Bendigo's
giving me the answers.
And with Tony Barber sitting in the van. And I sat and watched it. It just showed up on YouTube randomly, and I started watching it. And it was Jane Kennedy. Andrew Denton was one of the guys playing. There's a couple others, can't remember a couple other randoms, but it was very well done.
Yeah, they were very, very humorous. If you got nothing to do, just have a look on YouTube and you'll see some.
Graham and the Colonel.
You'll see some, champagne comedy. They had.
Shit scared.
Yeah, with Mick. Ready, Robbie? Ready, Mick? This is where the man comes in and decks the owner of the laundromat with Rob Sitch being all serious like he was Bruce Lee.
Rob Sitch's Bruce McAvaney was very good.
Yeah.
If you watch the one where he talks about the 1992 Olympics, where he just starts reeling off names because they sound good, it's very, very funny.
And Tony Martin dressed up as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And he's... Ivan Reitman, he genius. He was very funny. You know, Mick and Tony don't speak.
Really?
No.
They were very funny on
Had
radio together.
Had a bit falling out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other one that was very funny was Rob Sitch's Imran Khan.
Yeah.
Like a tiger.
Like a tiger. It blew up like a Pakistani monkey. He's like a tiger. I loved her like a tiger. And they did a bit of Bishop Desmond Tutu as well.
Yeah,
we need to love.
That won't wash anymore.
We need to love old Bishop Desmond.
Old 2-2-4-2.
Yeah, old Bishop Desmond 2-2. Anyway, it was very funny. If you've got nothing to do, it'll keep your whole weekend.
You want some questions?
Yep. I love questions.
You love questions.
If one more person rings you out a horse, they're like, people are obsessed. I know that they've been obsessed. It's just, it's annoying.
Jeremy Cameron seems increasingly unreliable in front of goal when typically he is extremely accurate. Might be this due to his role expanding to moving up the ground, meaning he's more fatigued when taking shots. Hard to explain his inaccuracy. That's from Anth Christian.
Yeah, that's probably not the most bizarre theory I've heard. He has been very hit and miss with set shots. He's been almost dynamite around the corner with those ones, particularly when he's in the right-hand pocket and snapping
from
the left.
From about 25 to 40 out.
Yeah, he'd be running at 90-odd percent, I reckon, with those. He missed one on the weekend against Gold Coast. I think he hit the post. But, yeah, he has been, and we've spoken about it, Kingy. I think, I don't know how much he's practicing it, but he's getting too close to the man on the mark. Often.
And they've done that all year.
Yeah, and like,
we picked that up early.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot. If you watch him, he just gets too close, has to just elevate the kick a little bit rather than kicking through it. And I think what you do is, I heard Matthew Lord on the weekend talking about set shot goal kicking in relation to Max King. He said the most important thing is that you've got your momentum going through the ball. So when you get too close to the man on the mark, the natural reaction is you actually pull back a little bit to get the elevation. Now, it only needs to be marginal for the kick to go askew, but that's what's happened when you do get too close. So I think, yeah, that's a good call. And it may be that he is a little bit more fatigued because he covers some ground. Goodness me. So that might be a factor as well. But those two together, he has been. I'd love to know what his percentages are, but I reckon he'd be less than 50% from set shot this year. The other thing too was Kingy. Yeah. When you've got a player going in your multi, in your big multi, to win the Coleman, and they do a hamstring into the final round when there's still half a chance, geez, you get deflated.
Yeah,
really deflated. Yep. But really deflated.
All right. This is from Ultimate Warrior. I'd like you to review the old tapes and check what street Benny suggested he'd run nude down if the Cats were to win the flag. You did say it.
It'll be a one-way street.
It was memorable, wasn't it?
Oh, zif. Imagine that.
You did say
we'd have to be it. We have to wait till the weather warms up a little bit.
You did say you'd do it.
Oh, goodness me. I don't know if we can produce. Can we? I didn't think this is. Someone's got a good memory.
Yeah. I don't know which one.
Run nude. I don't know if I said I'd run nude. Yeah,
I think you might.
I want to hear the tape. I want to hear the tape.
I'm going to have to go. I don't know where it'd be.
Yeah, look, nudity. I love a bit of nudity too.
Mankini. We'll do it in a mankini. You can do it in a mankini.
I doubt it.
Right.
No, nude.
Chalks, All Australian. Has any other AFL player won a premiership in his first and last seasons? I can't think of any. Would be a nice record for captain to hold this winning year 15 years after winning in his debut season and retiring.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. I'd be interested to know what a flag would do, whether it would sort of force him to say, you know what, this is how I want to go out, or whether he'd play on to try and win another one. But yeah, it's a good point. I have no idea the answer. Mm. But I don't think any player would have done that.
No. They talk about the bloke that played in a premiership for Richmond being his only game, a bloke called Bill James back in the 20s, but outside of that. Boxhead 31 has put up a YouTube video. It's of Jimmy Bartel and Will Schofield, and it just says, Kingy, Benny, have you heard of this one before? And we have heard of it. It's the infamous goat in the team meeting for the 2007 grand final, and the goat being decked out in the Geelong jumper and being out on the ground. So, yes, it's a...
I think Max Rook bought it.
Yeah, so, apparently the goat came from Ron Watt's property, is what Jimmy Bartel says in the video.
Right.
And
did Max Rook bring it in? So this is part of it. This was part of a mad minute that they used to do at Geelong, whereby a player had to do something...
Fox Dog 50.
Yeah.
I've started putting the TV commentary on mute and playing K-Rock through the AFL app. Can you guys put it to the AFL media rights to see in the new rights deal if they can pick which commentary you can listen to, like picking radio commentary and K-Rock? No, that won't work, unfortunately. We don't have that sort of pull. Anyway, halftime, I was very pleased to hear O'Bree talking about the VFL game and hearing the good reports about Sav playing centre-half back. I did ask you boys earlier this season regarding him playing in defence, as I personally didn't have faith in him and our team playing as a forward. I do hope he can take this with two hands as we are screaming out for another key defender. Could it be the next Tom Lonergan that might save his career?
100%. Can you who's been advocating that for quite some time?
You have.
Yeah. Long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I another Tom Lonergan, that'd be a stretch, but I think it's worth a try, yeah. And my question, I think I've said this before, is has he done enough in the back end of this year in defence in the VFL to get another contract with the Cats? That would be the question. But yeah, they're very thin down back, so that might save him, and I think it's a really good spot for him. If he trains in that position and he's against Hawkins over summer, against Jeremy Cameron, and he plies his craft and learns the trade across a whole season rather than getting chucked in late in the year when you've predominantly played your previous X amount of seasons in a different role, you know, that will bring him on even more. I just would love to know what the club think, whether they've seen enough to persevere with him as a defender next year.
Because he's still only 24.
Yeah. I think it's a really... And I've maintained this. It was just perfect for him. Probably should have happened earlier, but he doesn't read the game that well, but someone takes him to the game. That's why Blitzarves became a really good defender, because he didn't have to read the game and he doesn't do it that well. But if you take him, you lead him to where the ball's going to go. And the only thing difference there is Blitzarves has obviously extraordinary aerobic capacity. Radigalaire doesn't, but he has extraordinary athleticism. So, yeah, really, I just wonder whether it's been too little too late for him. That's the only problem.
Howell, the 41, a classy performance on the Gold Coast. Ingle put the game to bed in the first quarter. Hawkins could have a future as an undercover operative. He sets that many blokes up. That's very good. Myers, another ripping game. Close just does what he does. Took me till three quarters to notice Duncan and Smith weren't playing, which shows the evenness across the board of this Cats side. Wanted to highlight Rowan's effort late in the third in a game that's all but done. Sprinted 50 metres, beat two opponents, got the ball up and set up danger. While he may not get the stats, these efforts are what needed to come finals. Take on the Screaming Eagles at home. I, for one, feel it's time we put the Ukrainian to full forward, one out. Daz Broncos, hard to see anyone having us 8 points clear with one round to play. Glad we've rested whom we have this far. With Jezza having a spell now with a hammy, does Neil come in this week for a run, or do we play the 23 without Jezza that we expect to play in the qualifying final?
I don't know. We've just spoken about that. I don't know. It's pros and cons of both. You go with, because you've got the next week off, do you just play those blokes again? Probably. Would you love to get a run into a guy you need? Yes, but you can't do both. No. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I just love this. There's a few players I'd fingers crossed for Saturday. Stewart.
Yep.
Hawkins.
Yep.
De Koning, if he plays. A couple others there, but those key position players that are completely irreplaceable, your fingers crossed that they get through, and then somebody like a Stewart doesn't get injured. That'll be the key. Right. I wonder whether the Cats play a bit like that.
Yeah. It's not. Well, they've got nothing to prove.
No, you just... That's when you sort of start flirting with your form a little bit, though, when you... Is that... Nagging, I don't really want to get injured because it's bigger fish to fry. And
but that's when you do get hurt.
No, that's right. Geelong, no one's going to run out with that. But, you know, it's. I mean, you look at Essendon last week and you tell me they were trying. There was some horrendous efforts in that game. That was a team that visibly was going at about 43%.
Yeah, turn the toes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get out of here, Benny.
Righto. Good work. Looking forward to Saturday, Kingy.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.